Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This episode is powered by DenAnywhere.com, the online extension of Den Meditation. Our primary goal is to make meditation and personal growth available to all so that you truly understand and learn to love yourself, thus creating more harmony and success not only in your life, but within the world. We offer online programs, teacher trainings, retreats, free meditations, and many programs to further your growth. So go explore all the possibilities. Go to DenAnywhere.com now. This is super exciting. We heard you guys. Everyone always asks us, especially from the podcast, so how can I do the Den even though I'm not there? I don't live close enough. I don't have the time. So now we have denanywhere.com. And you guys, it is basically like having the Den whenever you need it, wherever you want. And we have free meditations, so there's no excuses, all different times so that you can put it into your practice, and they are free. And we have certifications, workshops, challenges that I'll announce that we can all do together. Basically, it's anything you could want from us but can't walk through the doors. And the beauty is you can sign up for free, and please do, as we're constantly putting new product up there and adding things that you're going to love, and I don't want you to miss anything. So go to denanywhere.com, sign up, and enjoy. Welcome to Den Talks Podcast. I'm Tal, the founder of Den Meditation, and your host. We have Natalia Benson on today, who is a modern-day mystic, as she says, and she does describe what that means exactly. But she is an astrologer, works in tarot, is a life empowerment coach, and in meditation. But she's worked for companies like Who, What, Where, Mother Denim, Well and Good, The Zoe Report, Hello Yoga. I mean, the list goes on, Google. So clearly she's doing something right, and she has found a way to live this world of spirituality and actually make some really good money from it. So I love talking to her about her journey because we really do chat about how she got here. And she had to peel a lot of layers and really step into herself. And some of that involved addictions and getting over that and really kind of doing the hard work on herself. And so we spent a lot of time on that, which I love because it's inspiring to remember you don't just get places by snapping your finger. There is hard work, not only just physical and like creating something, but on yourself. And so we dig into how can you do this work on yourself and why it's so important. She is beautiful. She radiates like physically. And also when she speaks, you're going to hear it. I know you're going to feel it through the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I think you're going to get a lot out of it. We'll just roll right in. I'm here with Natalia Benson. And I like that you kind of refer to yourself a little bit as like the modern mystic. But like, let's talk about for a second what mystic really means, because I feel like everyone has their own definition. So what do you consider that to be?
So I like to say a modern mystic, because I definitely, although I'm an Aries and we're just having a chat about Aries energy. Like,
because I'm an Aries too.
Yeah. I like to look at, I'm like, I'm a modern mystic. So the way I look at it, and something I always say is that, you know, everyone is a mystic if you choose to tap into that. And the way that I see it is it's just a depth of living. It's a choice to view life, existence, reality, just with a couple layers deeper. And that's really it. That's the way I look at mysticism and a mystic, and just being in integrity with your practices, being in integrity with your word and your heart. And just going deep.
So, and what do you feel like when you go those couple layers deeper? What is that?
Oh my God. Well, let's see. If I go out anywhere, and I've lived in LA for almost 11 years, so I've been here for a while. If I go out anywhere, I am just analyzing things. Like, it's very hard for me. And let me explain. Yeah. And it's like, and not analyzing in a judgmental way, but looking at things, especially things that bother me or hurt my heart or don't make sense to me. I look at those things just with a deeper perspective, and I do my best to make sense of why. And if I cannot come up with a why in terms of a really big picture universal plan in that moment, I go and do my inner work to figure out how to just make peace with whatever that is, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Can you give an example?
Oh God. Let's see here.
But it does make sense. But
it's like, okay, let me think of something. What's something that's really thrown me off recently? Okay. So this is not maybe the most kosher thing to start a podcast interview with.
Then it's going
to
be fantastic. Perfect.
So I live in downtown Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and I love it there. And as I said, I've been in LA for a bit over a decade at this point. And obviously homelessness is a big issue here. And outside of being in addition to being a mystic, I am an empath through and through. I am so sensitive. And I remember just recently driving in my car, and a homeless guy hurls himself into the street, and I almost hit him. Oh. And it was so devastating. I've got my dog Taro here. She flew off the back
seat. I hate when that
happens. And it was just like, it was a really chaotic moment. This is not the first time that's happened. And I just remember getting so worked up and also wanting to like help him and see if he was fine. He like carried on. But I just remember going home and being like, that is so fucked up. Like, just that you're living in your own state of reality that's so disconnected from, like, I don't know, like that I almost hit you in my fucking car because, like, you just wanted to hurl yourself into the street at any moment. And I was not only physically just like so shaken up by it, but like saddened. Yeah. And I get really affected by things. This might sound like such a silly example, but it's just like, anytime I see like homelessness, which it's very rampant in downtown, especially.
Yeah. And it's getting worse.
And I just have a hard time. Like, I think about the soul energy of that person. I think about the soul energy of this population. And I'm just like, what is that? You know, it's not enough for me to be like, here's some water and like $10. I'm just like, why on a soul level are you existing in this capacity? Like, what is that? And that analyzing and that deep sense of compassion and kind of pain that I feel is like, this is a little bit more on the graver side of the example, but this is stuff that I think about a lot. And I wonder about the state of people. And I wonder about how's it all going to work in the bigger picture?
And what answers have you been finding?
You know, I have a book that really helped me. I started reading this book, I think in 2011, which was about 8 years ago. So I was in my 20s somewhere in there. I was in Europe, traveling around with a boyfriend at the time. And I was in my early 20s was probably when I was the most at war with myself and the world and just how things were, being so sensitive and so just like having such a deep mentality. And I found this book called Journey of Souls. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, because I've read it. I love it.
Yes, just really about reincarnation and all the case studies that
Is it not Eric White?
It's
the other guy.
Weiss.
Brian Weiss, and I read them both back to back, though.
Dr. Michael Newton. Yeah, yes. Michael Newton.
I read it in my 20s, too, and I'm in my 40s, so I have an excuse not to remember everything.
You look incredible.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I just remember reading that book. I read it cover to cover while we were traveling, and it gave me this sense of relief and peace. Like, okay, there's more than just all this. There's more than just these human personalities and the hierarchy of culture and economies and all this shit here. There's more. And what it helped me with and is crazy as this might sound, I do apply this to what I'm speaking about with the homeless population here, is that there is rhyme and reason to the soul universe, to our souls. Mm-hmm. It may not have rhyme and reason to the ego, to my ego anyway, but getting to read that book just really gave me context to not only have compassion, but also surrender that I don't have to know why everyone is living the life they're living, if that makes sense.
1,000%, because that's what I was going to say. We don't always know why people have taken this lifetime to live out whatever it is.
Exactly.
And it's like, and I guess it's not even our jobs to know.
No, and that's the hardest thing for me, honestly, at like the deepest level. Like, that is something I just struggle with, because I just want people to be okay, you know?
Is this like kind of like you want to help everyone complex type of thing?
Totally. I feel like can you be my coach? Like, you're already helping me.
We do that here sometimes.
Great. I love it.
We joke this podcast, by the end, people are like, oh, I really got a lot out of this.
I feel great.
I feel like I've changed.
I feel like that's always how it is for me, though, speaking to other Aries women. Many of my best friends are Aries, and we just have these like deep, like, we're no fluff.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because I feel like you go to it.
Exactly.
Aries goes to it, and it's so helpful, because sometimes when we're dealing with our own shit, we like to talk around stuff. Because it's, you know, I think personally, because when you get into it, you want to fully know it, like 1,000% before you're like standing in it.
Yes.
So you kind of like dance all the moves to see how they feel.
Yeah.
So having someone who's like, come on, and you know it, like you know it in your truth. And so it's always helpful. I get it. I think, yeah, that's the beauty about an Aries, I think.
It's one of our greatest qualities is we just go right in there. And something that I was going to add, one of my favorite spiritual teachers. Have you heard of Coot Blackson?
No. I love a new name.
He is just so impressive. I found out about him from one of a dear sister of mine. And I listened to an interview recently that he did where he spoke about going through India and seeing these, I mean, we think homelessness is crazy here.
Oh,
like,
God, no,
whole other level. And he said, listen, I look at that as like the advanced soul. That is the advanced soul. Like, because from our Western mind, which is kind of what I'm illustrating here, we're just like, how? Like, don't you want your apartment and your central heating and food in your fridge and a job and whatnot? And he said, no, listen, there are some souls and people in this world where you can never understand by your rational thinking why they move through what they move through. But you just got to see it from like that's advanced soul training. And so I almost answered my own question here, because as I said, that's a big issue for me looking at that. And it's almost like the battle I go through internally around seeing certain situations and then analyzing and rationalizing with my egoic mind, but then going into my soul and just saying surrender and trust that that being is exactly where they're meant to be.
Yeah. And because I do that too. And I go through that where I always have to remind myself, even in not as extreme versions, and that's extreme. Mm-hmm. And I feel that too. But even sometimes when it's whether you're friends or someone you're just trying to help get out of whatever rut it is, whether it can be as hard as like drugs or whatever, or just, you know, the same repetitive patterns.
Yeah.
And it's that same thing. You just kind of have to back off and know they're choosing this growth and this learning for themselves, and how they do it and when they do it is part of it.
Yes. And just trusting that. And I think, I don't know if you can relate to being very empathic, or I can imagine many of your listeners are very keyed into that word. And you know, it's something for me only recently, because I'm so much Aries, a lot of Capricorn in my chart. I'm an astrologer. I'm assuming someone will have known that by now. Maybe it'll be in the title.
I'll put it
something.
In the introduction. Don't worry. I'll do a longer intro.
So they're like, why is this girl talking about random zodiac signs? Okay. But something about my personality is I feel like I can be so hyper logical, but then so deeply sensitive. And it is such a strange, chaotic, amazing combination.
That's great. By the way, it's so funny. It's me too, because I am so logical, which I think is part of my life lesson as well, is how to like get out of the logic a little bit. Because I can logic anything. Same. And I've been able to do that since I was a kid. It drove my parents crazy. I could win almost every argument. They had to definitely pull up because we're the parents. We said so, shut up with me, because I could somehow convince them in a very logical, linear way to get whatever it was, like my point across.
I love that.
Yeah, no, it's great, except for when you are then really trying to work on just being in it.
Yes.
You have to dismantle part of it.
Yes.
Because a lot of it isn't logic.
Absolutely. It's such a fascinating dance being a human.
It is. I mean, it is amazing because it's like you're always trying to strengthen one thing and then the other person's trying to dismantle that because they have too much of it. You know, it's always what's that perfect balance, and is there a perfect balance?
Absolutely. It's fascinating.
Yeah, but it is funny. The logic thing is very helpful in this lifetime in the tangible sense. But as far as like when you were saying the mystical part, going deeper, the logic can really tie you up sometimes.
I mean, most human beings, I think most of everything that's going a little haywire on this planet right now is simply from people living so tied up from their logic. And I love this space. I love the den. I've been here many times.
Thank you.
And I think it is so brilliant that many of us are tapping in and using our logic and our ability to act and ground in service towards where we must go as a people, you know? And those movements to me right now are small in perhaps relation to 7 billion people on this planet, but it's exciting. And especially in LA, I look at LA as being such an incubator. It's why someone as sensitive and perhaps deep as me could live in such a crazy city.
Right.
Because this city gives me both. It gives me the fun, weird, amazing stuff of being human with like the depth and soulful energy that I crave. And balancing those two sides are fascinating. And I feel like you having that in your personality as well, it's how you've been able to build this.
Right.
You have to have both sides.
You do.
And that's what I teach all my women, is like, it's not so much just being in your woo and your mystical and channeling down like the uni. That's cool. But it's like, what are you doing about that? You know what I mean? How are you grounding that?
But that's huge, which I mean, brings us to, you know, you are an astrologer, tarot reader, life coach, women empowerment life coach. Mm-hmm. You know, you've worked for major businesses as an astrologer. You do so much. Mm-hmm. But I like what you just said, because you know, I think people get lost sometimes in one or the other, a little bit we were talking about at the balance.
Exactly.
And, you know, they kind of assume, if you're anyone who's into astrology or crystals or anything, that you're just, you know, Marianne Williamson's battling this right now. It's like everyone just assumes she's this total crazy wackadoodle because she comes from the spiritual world. And they don't realize, no, like you can also have 2 feet very well planted on the ground.
Exactly.
And actually be very much in your body while still actually being open to deeper stuff.
Exactly.
So talk to me about how you've incorporated all of this into this. I mean, you do so much, which is what's so fun about talking to you. I mean, I feel like we can hit like 20 different areas.
We totally can.
But I mean, the fact that you do kind of do these courses with women, you are self-empowerment, you do work for companies, but like you also have astrology. Like, how does the astrology and all that balance in there?
I mean, that's the cool thing. Like, I look at astrology as a foundation to everything that I do. And one of my favorite quotes, actually, we were just talking about April 17th birthdays. Mm-hmm. J.P. Morgan was born on April 17th.
Uh-huh.
And I found a quote from him many years ago that said, "Millionaires don't use astrology. Billionaires do."
Ah.
And I was like,
love it.
Okay. he was very ahead of his time. And I started studying over the years about how many high-powered people throughout history have utilized astrology. And for much of astrology's inception, it was only used by high-level people in royalty, governments, etc. It was only, I wouldn't be able to give you the exact timeline, but it was kind of kept in a secret practice. Yeah. I saw something recently, and then I'll go back to what you asked me. I go on like these amazing
tangents. A tangent queen, so I will follow you there and I will pull you back.
God,
no
bless
worries.
You. This is the best interview ever.
No worries.
And then I saw something recently where, oh, have you seen those Netflix Explained?
No.
Oh my God, they're so cool. It's like astrology explained, the mind explained.
Oh, I would love that.
Cryptocurrency explained. I'm sure some people here have heard it. So the astrology one is so epic. And there's a press conference clip of Ronald Reagan. And they're like, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, when are you going to let the American people know how much you spend on the on the presidential astrologer? And like, I was like, oh my God, so Ronald Reagan and his presidency using astrology. So anyways, I just built my case for astrology. I use astrology as a basis for everything that I do, but not like horoscope astrology, but natal chart astrology.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the difference for people.
So, okay. So horoscopes, like I feel like some people's argument, I feel like I don't have to talk anybody here into that, but just in case, I'm just going to give my spiel. But horoscopes are a very small piece of the puzzle when it comes to astrology. Natal chart astrology, to me, is the true essence of what astrology is. So, do you know what time you're born?
8:32
a.m.
Yep.
April 17th.
April 1st.
April 1st. Sorry, that's my birthday.
I know, it's okay. 1976.
April 1st.
I love that you can do this without even.
I mean, I actually can't. I actually feel like I just set you up for that, but
I was like, I'm really impressed. I'm like, do you have a total, your brain is such a computer.
I mean, I can think of a couple things, but and you have was it Gemini rising or Taurus?
Taurus moon, Taurus Gemini moon, rising.
Gemini rising. Okay. So basically what I'm outlining is just the basic nuances of your specific natal chart. So the time, the exact time, the place, and the date. According to astrology, the moment you're born and you take your first breath, it's as if we take like a snapshot of the heavens, and that energy of the moment you're born is imprinted energetically through the expression of your soul in your human incarnation. So the same can be done with people and events. So when I've worked with businesses, obviously clients. I teach astrology quite a bit now as well. I love to teach just this concept of the energetic imprint that astrology has in making sense of who you are, making sense of your strengths, your weaknesses, and not something to live or die by, but simply to be more self-aware and self-compassionate.
Yeah.
And I think that when we bring in that deeper information into everything that we do, it just makes us more impactful, whether it's in a personal scenario, like when I'm working with someone one-to-one, or it's in an organization and we want to look at personalities or...
So with the organization, it's like when they open their doors, that mm-hmm. is their first breath.
Yes. You could look at a couple times what I've done is just I have them bring their, I'm not sure what it would be called. I'm sure you have it for here, where it's like the time and date that you have it like with the city or whatever, or I don't like a business license. I don't know. It's been
like your DBA or something.
Yeah. Just like anything where it's like kind of the birth right. moment of the idea or when you made it official.
Cause that's the thing with a business. You could go to like five different, depending like, cause it could be the moment I had the yes. idea. Could be the moment I opened the bank account. Could yes. be the moment we opened the doors.
And according to astrology, know? Like astro geeks like me, you could make a chart for all five of those things and then interpret. And it's just so fun.
But I like what you said. It's not to live or die by it. It's to be yes. more empathetic and yes. understanding.
Compassionate. Aware. I mean, imagine if even 60% of the world population lived with a greater sense of self understanding and awareness and compassion, it would be a much different world. There'd be a lot of many different structures than what we're experiencing now, because most people just live with the notion that they're either far too important or they're not important enough. Hmm. And they create their life from that space of the ego versus from the awareness of the soul. And the thing I love about astrology is that it champions the mind, the body, and the soul. It gives you like this tripart look at just the totality of who you are, why you decided to come here. Obviously with astrology, and the way that I teach and have studied astrology is it's very lean towards reincarnation. So if that's something that doesn't resonate, I'm sure there's schools of thought in astrology where that isn't necessary. But the way that I've studied it and the way that I teach it is really with this like understanding that it's a big picture kind of thing.
So talk about that reincarnation in regards to like natal charts.
So the way that I've learned about natal chart astrology specifically is that, you know, let me back up all my thinking thoughts and words here. I love this. I'm just like, this is great because I love a good challenge. And I'm like, how do
well, because I find that that's, I agree.
Yes.
And I do feel like sometimes this is like where all the mystical fun stuff happens is like you could even pull up like if you have like a teacher, an influencer of yours, mm-hmm. and see like how your charts are compatible. Like exactly. Even if they pass, is there a whole reason why you're attracted to yes. that teaching? Like it all does connect.
Absolutely.
But I'd be curious to hear more from like someone who actually studies it and teaches it, like how, like what that really yes. means.
So the way that I look at it is the natal chart is like the blueprint of the soul. So you can take a look at your natal chart. And I look at this as like base level entry to self-awareness, purpose, anything you want to know about yourself, you can explore in your chart. It's like a very mystical yet grounded take on psychology, mm-hmm. and you can look a lot of behaviors. So when I talk about in terms of reincarnation, just let's stick to that concept that it really is reflecting the blueprint of the soul. So there's one specific point in the natal chart. It's called the midheaven. And the midheaven is your most public point in the chart. So like mine is Scorpio. And I'm not a Scorpio. I only have Pluto in Scorpio. But many people, if they don't know me well, they're always like, oh, I would have assumed you're a Scorpio. And the way I learned about the midheaven is that actually this is the sign that through all your inner work, through all your external work, through your vocation, everything you're doing in this present incarnation, this is what you're getting ready to be in your next incarnation. It's fascinating.
And is there one that shows you what you were in your last incarnation? Mm-hmm.
I have my own interpretations, and I've been reading natal charts for probably about 10 years at this point, learning and reading, even before, in perfect Aries fashion. I like had studied for maybe like a year, and I was like, all right, I'm ready. Like, who's ready for me to look at their natal chart? But over the years, I've come to look at South Node, wherever the South Node is, and Chiron as two excellent planetary points. Chiron is technically a dwarf planet comet, but that's okay. Maybe I didn't want anyone to at me on Instagram and get upset. So I just thought I'd call that there. But those are two great points.
You're like, back off. I know what I'm doing.
It's okay. But those are two great planetary points to look at for possible past life energy, as well as your 12th house and your ascendant. Any major activity in the 12th house. And then they also say with your ascendant, because it bridges your 12th house and your first house, it is the 12th house is like past life energy and soul energy. The first house is the ego and sense of self. So the ascendant is that bridge. So you remind me your rising one more time. I know you just said
no, it's okay. Gemini.
Gemini.
And then Taurus moon.
Okay. So with that Gemini ascendant, some astrologers may interpret it like, oh, your soul is very acclimated with that Gemini energy, and you are projecting that in your outward personality through your ascendant, which is that first house cusp.
Hmm.
It's fascinating.
It's all very fascinating.
It's fun.
This episode is sponsored by DEN Certifications. You want to deepen your practice or supplement your knowledge for your day-to-day job? Well, you're going to be surprised to know just how many certifications we offer, both in person and online. All levels of Reiki, intuitive healing, compassion, animal communications, breathwork, and of course, our deep 400-hour meditation training. Go to denmeditation.com for more information. Hey guys, sorry to interrupt, but I want to let you know about our next Den Talks, which isn't until January. Can you believe it? But it's going to be great. We have Gal Sasson, who you know we've had on this podcast twice. He's amazing. And the reason I want to tell you about this early is because it will sell out. He never does anything here that doesn't sell out. He's incredible. Wherever he teaches, he sells out. So we're going to do it January 25th, which is a Saturday night, 7 p.m., Practical Astrology with Gal. Come. I think the most beneficial and amazing part will be the Q&A, so we'll leave some time to do a longer one because I know you guys all have questions for him. We will talk a little bit about the history of astrology, but more about what are practical uses and how can you use it, especially in 2020? What are things we need to look out for and what are trends? And you know him. Everything with him is layered and incredible, so I'm sure he'll bring in religious reasons and reasons about names and what's going on in the forecast. I mean, he always has a million things that makes your head explode, and holy shit, it reminds you how intricate this entire world is woven together, and that's what I love about him. So prepare to have your mind blown. Come with questions, and just, it's going to be an awesome night. So hope to see you there. Go to Den Talks Podcast, go to the Nav Bar, go to the Lives, and book your space now. Hey guys, have you checked out Den Anywhere yet? If you haven't, you must, because it's a way for you to get all these meditations on the go. We have workshops, we have retreats, but what I want to talk about today, if you haven't checked it out, this is a perfect reason. Starting December 1st, we are launching a 21-day challenge with our own Kelsey Patel, who we love so much. So for 21 days, starting December 1st, you will have an email sent into your inbox that will have a beautiful guided meditation, about 20 minutes with the Dharma talk, and also some distance Reiki and some EFT, because she's amazing like that. This will be such a great way to help get you through the holidays. It's December 1st to the 21st, so it'll end right before those holidays and you're in the thick of it, and I promise you will be better off for it. So go to denanywhere.com, go to the challenges, sign up now. It's only $21.99, so you're talking basically $1 a day for your sanity and for some growth. I think that's worth it. So go there and let's do it together. See you December 1st. Who read your chart for the first time?
Oh my God, it's funny. As I've been talking, I feel like I've been feeling this person. So his name is Christopher Witecki. I'm writing my first book. I'm finally almost done.
And congratulations.
Thank you. And I talk about him quite a lot in there, because a lot of people ask me, they're like, how did you start with this? And who like impacted you so much? And when I was about 22 years old, I was a raging partier, lost cook. Can I say like...
You can curse, great, say anything, great. Drugs, anything.
I was a coke addict. I was such a lost little party animal. I'd never done drugs in my life, so
oh, really?
I moved here.
And then you went crazy. Well, it's an easy place to do that for the
it
first time.
Was, yeah, like it was just crazy. But I look at all ways of darkness lead us to our light. And
agreed.
For me, that was my darkest, one of my darkest points in my young life. And, but from that, I knew I didn't want to stay there. I knew that there was more for me. I talk about this a lot in the book. And, Christopher, like, I think I've talked about this before in different interviews, but I had just gotten broken up with from a guy. He was a Gemini guy, just moved to Los Angeles, and I was so bummed out, and I'm at lunch with my dear girlfriend, Leah. She's a Taurus, and she's like, hey, I know you're really upset, but have you ever heard of astrology? And I'll never forget that moment, because she was the one who introduced me to Christopher Witecki. He had this website called Soul Garden that was not chic spiritual like all of this. It was very kind of like kitschy spiritual. That was always the stuff I saw when I was getting into all this. And I was obsessed. I learned about essential oils, meditation, astrology, everything on this website.
And you knew nothing before?
I knew nothing.
So why did you move? You were from Phoenix. We talked about it a little bit earlier. earlier.
Yes.
Why did you move here?
Well, when I was about 19, so I actually moved from Arizona to San Diego. I was in school. I was first studying business administration, what the fuck, and then I was a political science major, and then I did some traveling over to Israel, and I had such an intensely profound shift while I was there. I was like, wow, there is so much more than what I've been told about life and the world. I came home, and it's such a long story, but I had a bit of a spiritual awakening at 19 where what I'd sort of been primed to be by my family, by my upbringing, was not where I knew I was meant to go in my lifetime. And
what were you being primed to be?
Just a workaholic. Just, I mean, I maintain with all my Aries energy and my intensity. Had I not maybe had my soul kind of crack me open in those early years from like 19 to 23, I don't know if I would have made it very far into my 20s because I had such an extreme personality. Like I got sick a number of times from 19 to 23. And then obviously having a drug addiction is a very deep sickness as well. And I think if my soul hadn't attempted to crack through my ego in that very pivotal time of my life, and I would have just kept going at the rate I was going with just being obsessed with success and money and survival and working, I probably would have been a very high level, miserable drug addict. Like that's really the way I was going. And then my soul was like, it was almost like a semi truck. It was.
So what happened? What was the semi truck?
Well, there were so many. I feel like it took quite a few moments for me to really break open and surrender to the path in front of me versus the path I thought I was going to go down.
So what are some things that like pushed you off? Like you talked about Israel for one. There was a moment in Israel. Was there?
So I came home from Israel. I was about 19 years old. And this really explains why I ended up moving to Los Angeles. But I remember laying in my college dorm room, bed or apartment, whatever. And I was saying my prayers. And I didn't know who I was praying to. I was just saying like prayers that I had said since I was a kid, just kind of like, hey, God, it's me, Natalia. Hey, like, you know, and I had this moment where I was like, oh, wait, I don't believe in God. Like, who the fuck am I even talking to? Like, no one. And I'm just running through the motions of nothing. And that's what I was doing in my life as well. I was running through the motions of nothing. And I just had this moment, and when I said, I don't believe in God, it was almost like, I'll never forget that moment. I mean, I'm 32, that was 14, 15 years ago at this point, and I was just like, I'm like, this is going to be really weird. Like, I'm going to move through the rest of my life not believing in something. I was like, that, it gives me chills just talking about it, because it was a very strange moment. And as the universe would have it, it made itself known to me about 3 weeks later. Like, wait a second.
And so what did it do?
Well,
but it is interesting. I do feel like sometimes you have to undress in order to get redressed.
Yes. And that was really for me. Like, because I feel like many people could see me now in my work and my expression, and I'm very me, right? I'm very, like, anyone who says they're a modern mystic, like, they're just really owning something there. They're right. Just like, yep, this is what I am. And I've always been like this since this sort of break in my personality, where instead of, like, being something to everybody else, I finally decided it was time to be something to me.
So 3 weeks later, what did the universe do to make itself known?
I started dating someone, and he, I talk about this very deeply in the first chapter of my book, because I feel like this is such a a great thing to just remember how sometimes when you feel like you've exhausted every avenue and you don't know which way to go, that there is something bigger. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that that was possible at that time. And now I feel like I do have a much deeper relationship with this energy within me and the universe, however you like to refer to it, God, whatever. But yeah, I started dating someone and he gave me all these spiritual books, and I will spare all the details because I feel like my life, again, being such a deeply self-aware, sensitive human, I can like move through every ounce. I remember everything, you know, and this specific situation, I'm sort of putting it very plainly, but this person kind of blasted into my life. I was so young. I had horrific abandonment issues. So it was almost like God, universe had to get my attention from something that would get my attention. And it happened to be men. And it was like this for a very long time.
But the guys that came into your life were actually directing.
I got major teachings through relationships and through my abandonment issues and all my emotional anxieties. Because through that darkness, that was... I had to figure out how to heal that so I didn't like want to die and like not be here anymore. So I had to figure out ways to deal with that darkness. And in dealing with that darkness, I taught myself astrology, tarot. I started businesses. I did Kundalini yoga religiously. It's like, so it was almost like through these deeper wounds and issues that I had, those things were guiding me to my ultimate purpose. So anyhow, with the guy, he's so sweet. We're still friends. Like, I wonder if he even knows that he impacted me.
It's hard not to be
month.
Friends with, like, he might not know, but it's hard for you not to look at him in
with
that way.
Such
of
gratitude.
Course, because he's pivotal for you.
Such gratitude. And I just remember keeping it a long story longer. I just remember him giving me this book called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
So I had the book on a love it. That's so my move. This is the perfect interview for me, like, really. Like, I'm just saying.
Keep going.
I've almost cried like six times. I was like,
feel free.
I'm attempting to, I was like, this is perfect.
Well, see, this is what I did to distract you. So you wouldn't.
I love it. So basically,
by the way, I spilled all over myself. Yeah, for those of you who aren't watching or don't know, I just beautiful. Spilled my drink all
she
over
looks
me.
Great. That's why I wore black today.
Smart,
I was like, this
way
is
smarter.
Thing.
Yeah. So you had conversations with God.
And I just remember, you know, as noted a couple weeks prior, I had said, I don't believe in God. A couple weeks later, I meet this guy, we're dating a bit, whatever. And he gives me this book and I'm reading the back cover of the book, and just long story, very short, the back cover, which is beautiful. And I cite the whole thing in the first chapter of my book. It was basically just like, hey, like I'm the universe. I'm God. I'm with you at every moment. I've never left you and I will never not be with you again. Something like that. And I just remember those words piercing through and I was like, oh, holy shit. Like, okay, like I don't have to live alone. There is more, you know what I mean?
I mean, I just got the chills because it is one of my favorite things of how mm-hmm. I look at my relationship with however people want to call it, spirituality, God, universe. Mm-hmm. And that is one of my favorite parts of it. Mm-hmm. And I teach Kundalini actually. And when I teach, yes. I feel like that comes into my class a lot where I yes. say, like, if you can feel it, it's always there.
Yes.
Because people ask me that, like in interviews, I've been asked that a lot of like, why do you meditate, blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, there's a million reasons and benefits. Mm-hmm. And one of the things besides, you know, really getting to know yourself, I try and tell people because they're like, how did you make decisions to start businesses? I'm like, well, I've never felt alone.
Yes.
Like never. I've always had, whether I've understood the why or what mm-hmm. it was, I've always had this sense that there was support out there. And I'm not talking parental, though I was very lucky there too. But I just mean like, I always knew I could just sit down and talk to whoever I wanted to talk to.
God, that's amazing.
Right. And it's a beautiful. So when you were saying it to me, it gave me the chills too, because it is, to me, if people will shift and open and accept it, it is by far the best benefit you will get. Period. I mean, so many other things come, but just to know you're not alone, no matter what you're going through. So no matter how shitty it is, you know that that friend is going to be there to help you get out of the
hole.
You still have to get out of it, but like there's support. And that's, it's such an amazing to me, an amazing part that people don't always talk about. It's like, yeah. And to me, it's so simple. It's like, but that's, it's everywhere. It's you. It's part of.
So simple. That's the thing. The way I was living, which I love what you just said, I was living like I was completely alone and it was all on me. And most people live that way. And it's scary. So damaging. It's what makes us sick. It's what makes us anxious. It's what makes us depressed, is this sense that it's all on us and we're all alone in this big, scary universe. And as I started healing over the years, doing my inner work, et cetera, that truth just kept permeating, that this is a friendly universe, that God universe has your back, that there's a, I love that Gabby Bernstein book.
It's a great title.
Great title. I say it all the time.
I
know, because
I say it too, and I'm always like, and then I feel like, and I'm just like, she was smart. She was very smart to use that.
She's great. I love her book that she just put out too, Super Attractor.
I haven't read it yet.
Another great just reminder of like, that whole idea of like, let go, let God, there's so much help here. And that, you know, I remember actually speaking of this moment of like coming back from Israel and having the moment in my bedroom where I was like, you know, my, I don't believe in God moment. I remember being in Israel before I came back for that fabulous experience. And I just remember feeling more alone than I'd ever felt in my entire life.
In Israel.
And I remember just, I think I was reaching a breaking point of some kind at that time. And I was 19. So anyways, you asked me why I moved to LA. Well, a couple months later, I started a jewelry line. So I had a bit of a spiritual awakening.
By the way, gorgeous jewelry on. I noticed that.
Thank you. None of this is mine, but
you have good
thank
taste,
you.
Clearly.
Thank you. I love jewelry. And that was, 19, still obsessed with surviving. That was really hammered into me from my upbringing. My parents are fucking amazing. I do my best not to make them sound bananas, but you know, we were all doing our best. And when I...
Are they still married?
Yeah, they've been married a long time.
Where did you get your abandonment issues from? May I ask?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't, not from my family. I had a past life regression when I was 24. And at this time I was in a good relationship, had my business going. I started a business
jewelry.
At 19. Yeah, I had that for 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I had
That's
it a
amazing.
Long time. I lived off of it all through my 20s. Can't say it was always like the most fruitful, but
you were living off your business, period.
But I lived off my
Congratulations.
Business. Thank you. I lived around the corner from here. Talk about being supported. I had like a rent-controlled apartment for like 7.5 years. Some years I split it with people. I paid like $400 in rent.
Amazing.
I was guided. Like I knew that if I just stuck to my guns and just trusted and kept going despite how hard it felt, I was going to be okay. But I forgot what
Past
else
life,
I was going to say.
24.
Oh, yeah. So the abandonment stuff, I was about 6 to 9 months into that relationship around the age of 24, and I just could not open my heart to this person. I was so scared. I had always been really afraid of getting hurt, getting abandoned. And I started learning about past life regression from that Soul Garden, Christopher Witecki website. And I just remember like going into this woman's office. I booked a session, had no idea what to expect, but I was so obsessed with past life stuff because of the doctor, The Journey of Souls, and the other Dr. Brian Weiss book.
Many Lives, Many Masters.
And she took me through this session, and I had this powerful, clear memory of being abandoned. And I was like in love with this man, blah, 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 blah. Just a very textbook story, but it was visceral. And because I always wondered, I was like, my family was around. Like where could this be planted that I have such insane emotional anxiety of getting rejected and getting abandoned? I'm like, where does that come from? And so not to say when I discovered that memory in the past life regression, I got to tell you what it is just because it's cool, but.
Yeah. When was it from?
So.
Was it like your last life? Was it
no,
more recent?
I don't think so. But, you know, I discovered that, the first Dr. Brian Weiss book, Many Lives, Many Masters, in London. And I remember grabbing that book off the shelf of a friend's house. I read about the first 15 pages in 2 seconds. I don't even remember how I was just flying through it. It was like my soul was ravenously thirsty. And
same thing when I first read that book.
I feel like that's how it is for most people around that kind of
stuff.
And
I was that age. I was like in my early 20s. And it was just like, these are the answers I've been waiting for. And this makes sense.
And I went to King's Road, which is, I believe, where the Royals...
That's funny.
Tell me.
Well, I lived on... Well, I was... Really? I lived on King's Road here when I was reading it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird. So I was on King's Road
in London.
London, and supposedly that's where the Royals lived or something along those lines. And I remember sitting there drinking a glass of wine, reading that book, crying so hard. I was like muddling the pages. I was like, how am I going to give this back to my friend? But I was so moved, and something about it really hit a deep chord in my heart. And so when I had the regression... She, you know, they tell you, they like, look down at your shoes. What are you wearing? And I was like, well, I look very fashionable. I've got this big skirt on, pointy shoe kind of thing. And I can feel that I'm in this bedroom. I'm up a little bit high. There's like a big balcony to my right. And she said, okay, so what's going on? And I said, oh, I'm crying. And she said, well, why are you crying? And I said, well, the man that I loved just left, and I know he is never coming back. And imagine, this is back in the day where there's no SMS. Like, you don't text.
You walk out the door, you walk out the door.
You're gone, right? And so I walked in, and I can still feel it in my body, and I was just shattered. And I remember she told me, okay, so tell me, go to the next thing. This is like how they do in the regression. Go to the next memory or moment or whatever. And so I'm looking in the mirror and I can just see like the scream, because you know it's all kind of subconscious, so it's not like you're seeing very literally. And so I'm like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm just shattered. And she said, okay, let's go to the next memory. And I said, well, my mom in this life is my mom then, and she's just passed away. It was just so fucking crazy. But what I decided in that lifetime, which was very relevant for me at this point in my life in my early 20s, is that I decided to be alone. After that person left, I never wanted to open my heart. And that was a big issue for me in this lifetime. I just had a really tough time opening to people, and a really tough time because I was so afraid of something and I didn't know what. So when I had that memory, it was just really touching in on, oh, there was like this core wounding there. It's not to say that I got the regression and it was better.
But at least you understood it.
Yeah. I didn't heal it till I did EFT tapping a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And now I'm in an incredible relationship. So
when did it start?
My relationship now?
Yeah.
Beginning of this year. So last fall, I did EFT tapping with a really powerful woman named Gala Darling. She does EFT. And I had a couple sessions with her, and it was gone. A couple sessions out of my nervous system, and I was a completely different person.
And then you met your now boyfriend.
I met my man a couple years later. And I'm skipping over so many details, but throughout my 20s, I was doing so much inner work, therapy, kundalini. I mean, my years of doing kundalini were my years of being the most stable, emotionally stable. I've had a fucking intense fucking life. I don't know why.
But it's interesting. So it's like, were you an intense child?
No, I was so happy-go-lucky. I was such a little sweet angel. I was always very sensitive. But I shouldn't say sweet angel. My mom said I was a sweet angel, I think, from what I heard. I was very kind. But as I got into that 18, 19, that's just when all my darkness came up. And I remember hearing a lecture once, like, about women coming of age in terms of like an esoteric sense, that 18, 19 is when our shadow comes up. And that is really what helps us like move into the mature expression of who we are as women.
But I feel like, so then you came out here and you were like partying and getting drugs, but you shifted out. What was the moment that made you say, okay, I need to shift out of this?
Well, and just to contextualize that, you know, when I was partying like that, it was to avoid this emotional anxiety. It was to avoid the intimacy of relationships. Like, I felt like when I was partying, I didn't have to go deep into that issue that I was having, right?
Right.
But as life works out and I started doing more of my spiritual work throughout my 20s, it sort of just healed itself. But wait, what was your question?
What made you, so I know that you had kind of these moments, like in Israel, you started reading books, 1920s, mm-hmm. you moved out here after a breakup. Mm-hmm. Was it just this natural progression at that point because you were doing so much work on yourself? Was that what kind of happened, or was there any other big moment that shifts this? Like, especially like drugs, especially mm-hmm. if you said you were totally addicted, like what made
I
you
love
finally?
It. You are literally, I love this because everything you're asking me is literally everything I've written in my book, like in detail. Which is great. I'm happy to talk about it. We haven't even, like, I think maybe like 100 people even know I have a book coming out. But so this is a good time to talk about it.
Perfect. Great. Now everybody knows.
But I talk about like the key moments of making these shifts. And God, I feel like I'm just bearing my soul here. But this good. Is good.
Yes, that's what we do.
I agree. I'm happy to hear it. I just come in and I'm like, let's party. Are you ready? Let's meditate. Whatever. Yeah, the drug thing, I had one really intense night where I like did way too much cocaine, and I somehow was at my friend's like horse stable. He had horses, and I remember walking around. So, you know, I don't know if you ever partied, but that's be those nights you're just like, what am I doing here? Like, it was just like a very odd experience, but it was perfect because I remember walking around this like horse stable. I was searching for water. I don't think Uber was around then, so I don't remember how I was going to get home, maybe like a cab. And I was just so beside myself. I was angry at myself for everything. It's like sometimes with partying, and maybe if anyone is going through this or knows someone going through this, when you're partying or you have an addiction, it's like it's to avoid yourself, but really it slams you head first into everything that's truly, truly wrong. And so this night was that night for me. I was just head first into my anger, my fears, my resentments. And I happened to walk into this stable, and there is literally the most massive black mare I've ever seen, the most majestic. Wow. And if you're around horses, I mean, I rode horses as a child, like in Arizona, like they're so majestic and powerful. And I remember standing there and this horse looked at me, and I was high as fuck. So right. Like, who knows what happened, but I remember it looking at me, and I was standing in its presence, and I felt ashamed. And I said, I am going to change my life right now. I said, I will never do this again. I said, I'm done. I literally, in that moment, I was like, I am done with this forever. And I found water, and I somehow got home, and I woke up the next morning after sleeping for 2 hours, and I was like, okay, I said out loud, I said, I forgive you for everything. What do you want to do to change your life? Because I don't think this is the direction you ever intended on going in. And then that day, someone messaged me about doing a yoga teacher training. And I'd liked yoga, but I'd never really done it. And then I started doing yoga that was it.
You said
I
yes.
changed everything. Yes, I changed everything. That's one thing I love about my personality, and maybe this is an Aries thing. Cold turkey is like my middle fucking name. Like if something is not serving me, I can cut it. And now in my life, as I've matured and healed, nothing gets so extreme anymore, thank God. But my early 20s in this time of growth and evolution were extremes aplenty.
But I think that's what the 20s are for so many people. Like I say that all the time on here. Even I felt like very lucky. I had a great job. I was doing well. Like compared to most of my friends, I was pretty balanced. Yes. But even I remember being in the car thinking I was bipolar because, like, I did. I remember, like, calling my brother who was, like, getting a PhD in psychology to be like, I think I'm bipolar. He's like, why? And I would tell him. He's like, oh. Like, he would literally be like, oh. And really all it was I was
don't
just...
Don't tell a brother that.
Right.
My brother's just, like, yes, there is something wrong with you for sure.
He was like, you're not bipolar. And then he would tell me things. I'm like, yeah, I feel that. And then he would say something. I feel that. He's like, oh, well, maybe you are. And here's the thing. I was not.
Yes.
But what I was feeling extreme emotions.
Yes.
To the point that it's like surprises you.
Yep.
And I remember like I'd just be driving and then there's just the sheer cry that would come out or the sadness, the frustration and feeling like nobody really knew me or blah, blah, blah. But then the ability to walk in a room and be the happiest person yes. there was like fucking me up.
Yes.
And again, I thought I had a very mild case of the 20s.
Yes.
So I always feel for people because I can only like amp that up for people. It's just a tough time. I feel like what you said when you were talking about 18 and 19, to me, like that's what the 20s are. It's like you are literally coming into this body and you're trying to figure out what you're giving up and what you're becoming. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're having physical reactions to it as you're like growing to make room for it.
Yes.
And look, and some people push through. And mm-hmm. I think where some people get stuck because it's so uncomfortable, they don't keep pushing through. And then you're kind of stuck in that tumultuous feeling. And that those are the people in their 30s and 40s who are kind of...
that just drag that with them. And, you know, I feel like you're slightly psychic too. And I don't ever talk about things that are in process for me, but... I'm feeling very vulnerable with you all today. I feel like you know every ounce of my soul. So I'm going to tell you this as well. But my next book, I'm almost done with the first, but the one I'll be putting out end of next year is all for women in the 20s. Because as you can tell, I had such a crazy time. But it set the foundation so that by the time I was 31, I called in everything that I'd wanted, the successful business, the love, like everything that I was pining for and missing, or not missing, but feeling like I was missing in my 20s. That period of time, looking back at it, I wish I could like be like, sis, like, I wish you had just fucking relaxed. Like, you took it all so seriously. I would never go back to that time in my life because I took it so seriously that it was painful, like beyond painful. And I know most do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm very passionate about that subject matter. And this is just something I learned about myself very recently in my work, that women in their 20s are very drawn to what I share because they write to me and they're just like, thank you. You really contextualize this for me and I can breathe easier. I'm like, I wish I had a me, like the older me for me when I was going through all of this, because I didn't have healthy guides. I didn't have people around me that wanted the best for me or wanted to kind of help me make sense of where I was.
How, when you look at your friendships now from then, how have they evolved and changed? And was that painful?
You have the best questions.
Oh, thank you.
God, I love this. The answer is absolutely. I mean, being here for so long, I don't know, like, friendships for me are like a fascinating subject because I'm so independent and I have incredible women around me now, but they really love and let me be who I am, which is very on my own tip. I work a lot and I like to be alone a lot and I feel a little awkward with people, actually. As people connective as I am, I think it's funny as I get older, I'm just like, do I really know how to connect to people? It's very complexly strange.
Were you an outgoing kid?
Yes, very. I'd like stand up in front of the class and like give like an oration from like my heart. And my mom said my teachers would be like, we've never seen anyone do that. So I think I was very outgoing. And then, yeah, that period where I got really dark, like I think that was me stepping into having a relationship to my soul and to my sensitivity. I don't know that I had that before, but about my friendships, yes, I don't think I have many friends from my 20s. I don't think that the people in my life then, they were excellent teachers. They weren't deep friends, right? And when I say teachers, I mean teachers from the soul sense, where even if it was a dark or challenging experience, they were perfect for me at that time, because I actually just did an exercise the other day where I wrote down anyone that I had any feelings of resentment towards. Mm. And I wrote down what I learned from them and I thanked them. And
how long was your list?
There was about 9 people on it specifically. I'm sure there's many more. We all have people from our past that have hurt us, and it can be hard to see the big picture, but that's actually a very active process for me right now, because I'm also still forgiving myself for a lot of the things I put myself through, I'm just a very like self-aware person. So, and I feel like in this lifetime, I'm like, okay,
how much can I grow? How much can I grow? How much can I pay attention? And that's what I do. And I feel like a lot of my friendships from my past, they were deep teachers for me. They were not, they weren't very healthy. So
it's really awesome though, how you are very self-aware, because, you know, misconception for people that, you know, become teachers or guides, yes, in the space is they think they have it
to be perfect.
Perfect, or it's all, yes, figured out. And we all know that. I mean, that's
no, it's impossible.
Ever changing.
It's silly to think. You sound very, like, I believe some people are just very solid. Like that, I've become solid, but I had to create myself that way. And I respect when I meet someone where maybe they haven't had to go through as much tumultuous energy as I have to get to that space. So I respect that a lot.
Thanks.
It's beautiful to see, because I feel like, you know, it's interesting to even like speak about everything I've, and only recently did I become comfortable talking about this, but really it was just because I don't want anyone to feel alone. And if by me being vulnerable, and sharing my heart and sharing my past can help another person breathe easier and maybe help them not go through as much challenge and pain as I did, then it's so worth it to me, you know?
Well, it's amazing because, again, you're giving people, you're still doing, like you said, I just did this thing, which I love, by the way, like, mm-hmm, people I resented, like, you're still doing your practices, mm-hmm, and you're still, I mean, and I'm, you ha- and people don't realize that, like, you have to do your practice every day.
Yes, it is.
This world has got a lot of energy.
Absolutely.
And it's like, it's hard to navigate, even in your best version of yourself, it's still hard to navigate, so.
And I talk to my audience, my students, my clients, like, And maybe, again, I bring this back to astrology. Maybe this is also just the nuance of being such an intense Aries, is like, I just, if I think it, it's out of my mouth. Like, and, but I like that because I feel like it keeps me very accountable, and I do not mind sharing what I'm moving through. I do not mind sharing things I've gone through, just because, again, I think it's easy to connect when everything's hunky-dory, but it's like, what about, like, I felt so alone in those spaces that I used to be in, and thank God, you know, I had family that loved me, and I did somewhere within my heart know there was, like, something bigger, and I was passionate. Like, my 20s, the early part was tough, the last couple of years were pretty intense, but all in all, I had drive, I had passion, I stuck to having businesses, I stuck to my guns, even though I was relentlessly working on myself. And it might sound extreme, and I'm pretty intense, so I feel like I'm only for, you know,
but
I'm,
you stuck I'm to your guns knowing that you wanted to do something bigger, but you were working, yes, your ass off financially to support yourself to get, yes, to this bigger goal,
yes,
correct?
I was working my ass off on every level. I don't know. There were just a lot of things I think I came in with that were a little haywire energetically, that I just was like, okay, if I want to live like the life that I really know I want to live, I got to create it. Like, no one's going to plop it on my lap for me.
But it's so true. And I feel like, especially this kind of newer generation, that's a big thing. I think people
no
do
shit.
Feel like it's going to be handed to them.
Yes.
And it's like, and nobody really wants to put in the work. And I agree. It's, yes, you know, the no pain, no gain is a little bit, it's antiquated, but it's true. It feels like an, yes, old statement, but it's like, even though, yes, we have the ability now with like technology and computers and social media to do things a lot faster and to, yes, become more instant successes, it, yes, doesn't mean that you have to put the work.
It's sustainable. I always say success is energetic. It's the ability to hold a lot of energy.
Agreed.
And I love what you say, and to avoid going on any kind of rant, I've experienced that many times, being here in LA, hiring here in LA, and just experiencing people. I actually did a podcast about it recently called It's Not Woo-Woo, It's Work Ethic. And I can only say this now because in my 20s, I wanted things to come fast.
Of course.
I wanted to get the, I didn't want to do all the work, but looking back, I'm so grateful. Everything I've shared, I'm grateful for all of it. I love all of it. I accept all of it because it helped me become a powerful, badass woman.
I agree.
You know, well,
that's awesome.
All of it makes sense.
Well, also because it's like if you don't know how to do the building blocks of anything, mm-hmm. whether it be your life, your personality, what you're going through, or a business, mm-hmm. you're fucked. Because if yes. anything shifts,
yes.
or if like the foundation gets rocky at all, how are you going to help shore it up again if you don't yes. even know what the foundation is? So it's
absolutely.
Like, it's I remember like when we opened here, it's like I was working the front desk. I was doing everything. I was cleaning the cups. I was setting up the room. I mean, doing it all, which yes. sucks for a lot of people when they start to get hired because like there were zero excuses. Cause I'm like, you guys, I've done all of these
exactly.
things. I know how it works.
Yes.
But it's also great, even though I've now been able to like move away from some of that stuff to do other things, like yeah. be able to have this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm still very aware
yes.
of how it works. And when needed, as Nicole knows, we'll get in here and set up the chairs and mm-hmm. clean it up. And do whatever we have to do or clean the stuff in the back. Like we do what we need to do.
I respect that and I fuck with that so majorly because nothing is beneath you.
Nothing. Because nothing's above you either.
I've experienced, yes, I love that. And because I have experienced that a couple of times where it's like beneath to do it. But I'm like, that is what it takes. Like it takes, and you. That's why I had a beautiful conversation with my younger brother last night. We were talking about work because he's getting out of school and all this stuff. And I was like, look, I was like, you gotta love what you do. Like, you gotta be able to, like, just fucking sweat it out and bleed it out. Whatever you gotta do for that thing because you're gonna, it takes so much. Like, work is called work for a reason. Like,
yeah.
it's no matter what you do. And, like, I love what I do. Like, I'm truly living what I always dreamed about right now. And that's incredible. And it is so much work. I work, like when people say work smarter, not harder, I'm just like, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I'm just like, I think there is a way to work smarter. And I'm sure many know things that I have no idea about. I'm always learning. But it's like, what's also wrong with working hard for what you love? You
right.
know, like just fucking figure it out. Like,
I feel like as
it.
Long as it's not, which is probably an interesting question for you, is now that you work in this kind of like spiritual space and mm-hmm. you know how to take care of yourself better, I guess it's that balance of like, how
yes.
do you work your ass off and keep
yes.
these businesses going, but yet maintaining what you're probably preaching
yes.
to others.
Self-care.
And it's tricky.
And I would say I preach both. I preach the self-care and like honoring yourself, mind, body, soul. But then I'm also like, if you want something, fucking do something about it.
Agreed.
And
me
you're
too.
Gonna have to maybe lay yourself down on the line sometimes. And I tell my students this honestly. I'm like, I'm probably not the best person to ask just because I'm still exploring that balance.
Right.
I'm only recently, because things have gotten so busy and powerful, that I'm finally at this place where it's like, okay, Natalia, you take a full day off. Like you take Sundays off
and don't
like,
even look,
you don't
right.
even look like do nothing. Cause it is a form of discipline, but I don't know. I love it so much. Like
but that's
it's
great.
Just,
so it's not work for you.
Exactly.
Which is part of it.
But
it's not taxing you.
Yeah. You got to step off. Cause my boyfriend, I'll just be like,
hello,
babe. He's like, you've worked like 16 days in a row. And that's something that I'm still, working
but it
on.
It is such a thing. I mean, you have to, even when it's about, you know, you want the partner, you got to work for it. It's not
yes.
like you can't just wish the man to walk in or a woman or whatever the partner is into your life.
You handle it when you got it. It's the person you become
right.
in calling in your desires, you know?
But there's work on all aspects. Again,
yes.
it's the same thing I say in my class. I'm like, you know, these personalities don't change because you're talking about it to death. Like you can't just sit over wine and like coffee
yes.
and just talk about it and think one day
it's,
you're going to
yes.
evolve. It's like,
no.
you got to put in the work to evolve and to grow and no one's doing it for you. There's a ton of support
yes.
out there. Like we were talking
yes.
about, universe wants you to evolve and grow
yes.
and it will push you and help you, but you have to put one foot in front of the other.
And think about Kundalini. Like I love Kundalini. I love the practice of Kundalini, but it's like those kriyas are fucking intense. Like you're like holding your arms in some ungodly position for 31 minutes
yeah.
and it's like, but then the experience afterwards is just
pure amazing.
Bliss and surrender. And I look at that practice as the greatest like microcosm of life.
It is,
you know,
That's beautiful. And it is true. It's like you put it in there, you test yourself, you push yourself past limits that you actually didn't realize you can go beyond.
Yep.
And there's amazing stuff waiting on the other side.
There really is. It's incredible. Incredible. And that's what I share is like, just keep going. Just keep going. That's what I did. Like, and not to say my story is the worst of them or the best of them. It's mine. And looking back at it, I'm just so glad I didn't stop.
But that's exactly right. You can only keep going for ones that are worse than you and ones that are better. Like, you can only keep going.
Yes.
That's all. Well, let's do your four yous. So four quick questions.
Okay. I'll answer them quickly too.
however you want to answer them. Naps or no naps?
No naps.
You're not a napper.
God, I wish I could nap.
Aries, I think, have a hard time napping.
Yeah. My boyfriend is the champion of naps.
Mine too. Oh. I now have a child, so I've become better at them. Like, yes. I've learned to nap when she naps sometimes, and I'm tired in a way I never used to be.
Oh, I can only imagine.
But I mean, I'm in my 40s. Like, if there wasn't a four in front of it, there was no nap. Seriously. Do you journal?
That. I do. I journaled my entire life. Like, literally, my mom probably still has my journals from when I'm young.
Did you have to have the ones that had like the lock in front?
Oh yeah. I was like, don't look at my shit. Like, somebody answered it or would open it, I'd be like, you will be cursed like by morning. Like something. Yeah. Cursed by morning. Who knows? No. But I've always journaled. Recently, not as much. In recent years, not as much, but recently I started journaling a lot more. I've been reading books from Jim Rohn. Have you ever heard of him?
Mm-mm.
He was like one of Tony Robbins' like main teachers. And I've been reading a book, I think it's called 5 Success Habits or something like that. And he talks a lot about journaling, having a journaling practice.
I need to journal more. I do.
It's so fun.
I know. My hand just gets so tired.
What I started doing very recently, I started doing, because I feel like I get hints of things. Like, everyone started talking about gratitude journals in my life all of a sudden. And I was like, okay. So I ordered a journal, and now I journal 5 things I'm grateful for, 3 to 5 intentions for the day, and then 3 to 5 things I'm grateful that have already happened, but it's like manifesting. So if I have a vision or something I'd like to call in, I'll be like, oh, I'm so grateful that like I just sold out my coaching certification and I was journaling for a couple months. Like, I'm so grateful that I sold out the Natalia Benson coaching
doing future.
Certification. Yeah. But then I actually did sell it out. So yeah, it works. Be grateful for things before they come.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's an amazing tip.
It's fun.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, heavens. I've got a few. So I love Toikaya Organica. I love Postmates.
I
eat very healthy. Erewhon is another guilty pleasure. I order from there to downtown.
Are you vegan, vegetarian?
No.
You eat everything?
Yes, I eat everything.
That's refreshing to hear on here.
I eat very clean. Yeah, that veganism, vegetarian does not work for my body. I did it for a number of years and throughout my yogic practices and studies. And I was just overweight and eating so much sugar. It was crazy. And so I got my blood work done. My periods were all over the place and I got my blood work done and they were like, yeah, no, you've got to eat like clean sources of protein.
Yeah.
And I feel grounded, clear. Like I eat very
about it on here a lot where I do think it's much more about your body type.
Absolutely.
Than it is about just a general, cause I do.
Yes.
I always say the example of my child who before she had any teeth reached for any meat she could find and would just gum it. And still obsessed, like we'll always go for the meat first than anything. Versus there are kids that are reverse, that we're forcing meat down their throats and like all they want are vegetables and we force them to eat meat. But I do feel like we get so concerned about what people are telling us we should be doing and have to do that they don't like.
That's something that I don't really address because the judgment that comes through is so hurtful.
Which is ridiculous. I know,
and
it's
I'm
ridiculous.
Just like, I'm like, look, like just enough already. Like go do what works for your body. And that's always what I say. I'm like, I'm doing what works for my health and my body. I eat respectfully to this planet. I eat organic. I eat clean sources of whatever I'm eating. I've always invested in that, even when I had no money. I was on EBT for a bit. I still was trying to go to Whole Foods and Erewhon. They were like, no, anyways. but I just, that's something, because I laugh at this, and because people ask me if I'm vegan all the time. Everyone assumes I'm vegan. And I'm just like, that's funny. Like, why do you assume how someone eats? Like, that's strange to me.
Agreed.
But it is what it is.
Look, I agree. It's also interesting because even veganism has become, especially in Kundalini, a huge thing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but he was never, he preaches vegetarianism, yes. But he never preached Yogi Bhajan, sorry. Yes. Yeah. He never preached veganism.
Yeah.
It's just the whole thing. So I'm like, you sit on like sheepskin.
And for some people, it works. Exactly. And for some people, it works. Like,
absolutely.
I have friends where they can eat totally plant-based and it's great for them. I actually am just about to work with a health coach. I actually just signed on with her yesterday. We're working together for 6 months. She is doing all my blood panels, my hormone panels, a stool sample, she is literally going to get the full picture of everything going on in my body. And I am so excited. I haven't done anything like that in years. And I'm finally in a place in my life and my work and my business where I'm like, I've got to pay attention to this, because for where I want to go, I've got to be the healthiest version of myself. Not even have to, I want to.
But that's great. And I love that you say that and you're eating the way you need to eat for you. Because yes. I always say everyone is so concerned about what they're supposed to be doing that no one's actually talking to themselves.
Yes, and I was like that. I was listening to all of that, and I was sick and it was not good. That was a whole other chapter we didn't talk about, because I don't talk about that stuff because I don't want to hear people's opinions about what I eat. It's just like,
it's not going to change it. So you might as well hold your energy.
Judgment does not change things. Love changes things.
Agreed.
Information changes things. And that's why I love, like I said, I got that information in my 20s about my blood panel. He's like, he's like, instead of doing all these green juice cleanses you're doing, he's like, why don't you go to Whole Foods, buy a grass-fed, piece of beef and go cook it?
Were you low iron and stuff?
So low iron.
That happened in one of my teacher trainings. There was a girl who's basically like, I'm trying to be vegan, but they keep telling me I'm really low iron, like really drastically low. And they kept trying to give her reasons, but I have to give credit. Finally, the teacher was like, well, maybe you just eat meat. Like,
yes.
No one's preaching that you should go against, be unhealthy. Yeah. Like, if you really need iron and you're not getting enough from the other sources, go get iron where you know you're going to get it. Like, and my daughter's low in, by the way, she loves meat and she's low in iron.
Wow.
So, I mean, there is a correlation. Like, she craves it and I have to give her iron supplements because she is low in iron. So I always try and push the red meat on her if I can, anything to help her. I mean, she's 4 and she's low on iron, just naturally.
Well, and it's interesting we're having this conversation because on my way here, one of my favorite podcasts is Lewis Howes. Have you ever listened to School of Greatness? And he did a whole episode on biohacking your health, and he interviews a bunch of big health people. And all of them were just like, everybody's bodies are unique. And they were talking a lot about the science, but really just you got to eat for your body. And traditionally, human beings, we ate meat when we could catch it. So it's obviously the way the typical American diet is, it's too much meat, and it's not clean, healthy sources, respectful to the animals and the planet. That's not happening. But when you are eating predominantly veggies and earth, earth-based foods, fruits, veggies, seeds, whatever, and then a little bit of protein, animal protein here and there, that's the way that we evolved over.
I know, it is interesting how it's,
years,
I know.
You know?
We should do a whole episode
on this,
actually.
Let's do a whole episode.
I would love to, because I talk about it a lot, actually, that it's not even just food, it's just practices too.
Yes.
People, want to be told what to do. And I'm always like, you're with a good teacher if the teacher is telling you how to go inside and figure it out for you. Because it's going to be different. And that's the whole goal of any of this stuff, is to get acquainted with yourself so that you can grow. You'll grow faster and in the right direction if you're connecting to your GPS. But
the last thing I'll say about that for anyone listening who is, strictly vegan or vegetarian, great.
By the way, great too. That's what I would say. I mean,
yeah, that's because you want to say that because there is so much
I have zero judgment on any of
it. There can be a lot of judgment in that space.
As long as it's working for you.
Exactly. And if it's working for you, helping you be a great human being, great.
And I say that on all things. Like, as long as eating meat is working for you. It's like, as long as whatever you're doing is working for you, then it's exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes. That's just, I love it. We're like, four quick talks. I'm like,
I know, four. Now we've done a whole other episode. Okay, last one. Speaking of the fours, do you have a sign that you see a lot that means you're on the right path?
Oh, I love that. I do. So Mother Mary is one of my favorites. I actually have her tattoo.
You have a lot of really great tattoos.
Thank you. I have so many collected over the years.
Well, I like them because they're all like small, like they're...
Like this kind of...
I like it. Posted it's like around. A smattering.
So Mother Mary is one of my signs, and hummingbirds. Like when I see like a Mother Mary somewhere or a hummingbird, that's one of those energies for me where I'm like, the universe is speaking to me. It's beautiful. I've had the craziest experiences with hummingbirds. They have like flown in my face. I'd be like, ask a question to the universe. And then a couple minutes later, just smack dab in my face. I had one flying to my apartment once and I caught it on camera. It's crazy shit.
Amazing.
They're so special.
This has been so much fun talking to you.
I'm so glad. This has been
I'm going to have you back because I feel like we have so much more stuff to talk about. And especially when your book comes out, for sure.
That would be great. I would be honored to. And it's cool you guys got a great little glimpse into it. So
no, I know. It's amazing. So she is going to do her personal practice, so stay tuned. But thank you. Thank you for being so open and for sharing.
Thank you for your incredible questions. Oh, you're very kind. You should be like a, I don't know, like you're like... Like that was like Barbara Walters, Oprah, and like Larry King, like rolled into one.
I will take that. Thank you, my friend. I love that. I appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you so much. It's been amazing.
Thank you. So now Natalia is going to do her personal practice, which is breath work into a connection to the deities.
All right, so as long as you are not driving, go ahead and close the eyes. Relax the shoulders. If you are driving, that's okay. Just follow along. Keep the eyes open. Let's relax the shoulders. Relax the jaw. Go ahead and just roll the shoulders up and back a little bit, just opening up the heart center. Just a couple times back. And let's go ahead and put them forward, open up the back of the heart chakra, just whatever feels best for you, just opening up the space of the heart and letting the shoulders just melt and relax. If the eyes are closed, just letting the eyes just fall back into the sockets, just release as much pressure, anything you've been holding. Let the seat hold you. Let the earth hold you. Let's take a deep breath in through the nose, puffing up the belly like a balloon. Hold the breath, please. Exhale out of the mouth, O-shaped mouth, deflate the belly. One more time, deep breath in through the nose. Puff up the belly like a balloon. Hold the breath, please. Exhale out of an O-shaped mouth. Deflate the belly. Really feel the belly. You can put your hand on your lower navel if you'd like. Another deep breath in. Hold the breath. Exhale, let it go. We're going to do just a couple more like that. Deep breath in. Hold the breath. Feel the stillness. Just let everything go. Exhale, let it go. Now last one. Take your deepest breath in, deepest breath you've ever taken in your whole life. Puff up that belly. Hold the breath. Hold. Let all the thoughts go. Let all the tension go. Exhale, let it go. And just letting the breathing normalize in through the nose and out through the mouth, please. And we're just going to focus. The eyes are staying closed. We're just going to focus at the third eye. So just the space between the eyebrows, Ajna Chakra, and just stare here, almost as if you're cross-eyed. Just focus your gaze here for a moment. And at your mind's eye, I want you to visualize the most beautiful flower. Your favorite flower. Give it the color, the texture, the smell. Just let it really viscerally open up to you in your mind's eye. Just really using the power of our third eye and our ability to see beyond sight. And just witness this flower and just be in awe of it, in awe of nature. See every detail. And now I want you to witness yourself. Maybe this is a future version of you or the higher self of you, and just see yourself holding this beautiful flower in your hand. Are you holding it in the right or the left? What are you wearing? Witness this version of you for a moment. That is, as I said, that future version, maybe the you that you're creating, or the higher self version of you. So hold that vision for a moment. And I want you to see yourself in a gorgeous space. The most beautiful space that can be inside or outside. Just a place that helps you to feel safe. And wherever you are, sitting in a meditative posture with your eyes closed, much like now, holding this flower, palms facing upwards, in a space of receptivity. And in this safe, sacred space, holding this gorgeous, fragrant flower, just see the whole outline of you. What are you calling into your life? What is something that you are seeking to create that you don't currently feel that you have? What is something that you are excited to experience? Hold that vision for a moment, like a meditation within a meditation within a meditation. Hold that vision. And as you sit in this sacred space, holding this vision, we call forth the energy of Lakshmi. And Lakshmi appears to you in this sacred space. And whether you know what she looks like or not, it doesn't matter. Just a sacred being here to offer abundance, prosperity, and assurance that whatever it is that you are calling in, that it is blessed and it is divinely guided. And she hands you something. So allow yourself to receive this gift from Lakshmi Ma. Her energy is around prosperity, abundance, overflow, infinite supply. She hands you a gift to remind you that your vision is divinely guided and that prosperity and abundance are assured. Take a deep breath in, deep breath out. And so in this sacred space, Kuan Yin shows herself. Beautiful deity, a bodhisattva of compassion. And as she floats there, stands there, sits there with you, whatever feels most comfortable for you, she blesses you with the infinite power of self-compassion. She reminds you to be patient with your journey, patient with yourself, and that in the unfolding of your vision and whatever your desire is, as you can be compassionate with yourself and with others, the most beautiful, delightful outcome is assured. and you can call on her in moments when you feel frustrated with yourself or with others in the journey of your unfolding. And now Mother Kuan Yin hands you a gift. You receive it. And so now you have your beautiful flower, your gift from Lakshmi, and your gift from Kuan Yin. So hold these energies with you. Take a deep breath in. Deep breath out. And then lastly, beautiful Mother Mary comes forth and reminds you of the energy of divine love, that you are supported in this vision, that you are guided, and she brings you peace, peace to your heart, that everything is working out for you. Mother Mary's energy is just very softening and gentle. Allow her to smooth over any rough edges in your life or in your heart. And you can ask her for guidance when you feel like, when you feel disconnected from yourself, from the universe, from God, whatever it may be. And she assures you that the way is clear for you. She hands you a gift, places it in your hand, and gives you a hug and a kiss. She has a very mothering, loving energy. Let's take a deep breath in. Deep breath out. And now placing the left hand on the heart and the right hand over the left, I want you to take the energy of these gifts and just put them into your heart. So physically, actually move your hands to your heart and just place these gifts, these energies into the heart, reminding you that you are prosperous, you are taken care of, you are guided. There's so much love, power, compassion, and peace inside of you. And you don't have to be perfect, and you don't have to know all the answers, that you are doing phenomenally well. And anytime you'd like a little reminder, you can connect to these energies, Mother Mary, Lakshmi, Kuan Yin, divine feminine energies. And before we come to, just visualize a beautiful golden light all around your body, all around your aura, and just hold these gifts in your heart, whatever they may be. Maybe you'll see them in signs or energies, or maybe someone will actually give you these things, or you'll see them soon. And just remember, you are guided, you're taken care of, and just to be good to yourself. Let's take a deep breath in. Deep breath out. And then go ahead and gently, with the hands still on the heart, just bow the head. Gently open the eyes if the eyes were closed. And just acclimate your eyes and your energy back to the room. And be well. Thank you.
Dentalk's podcast would not exist without these incredible people: Nicole Rappi, Reem Edon, Hayden Fungheiser, Kim Bielek, and music by Alex Fetter. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't subscribed, please do. And also, wherever you listen, please go and leave us a review. It's so greatly appreciated. It really does help us out. If you want to keep talking about all this stuff, please join our community on our secret Facebook page. Go to Facebook, search Dentalk's podcast, and join us there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.